Jesus Christ is the light of the world.
The light no darkness can overcome.
Stay with us, Lord, for now it is evening.
And the day is almost over.
Let your light scatter the darkness. O God, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and that we may live in peace and quietness through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Thank you.
May our prayers come before you, O God, as incense. And may your light and love surround and fill us, so that with pure and renewed minds we may sing your praises. With the whole church on earth and all creation, we glorify you now and forever. Amen. A reading from Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive her into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Amen, I said. And amen, my soul breathed. Slowly my hand slid from the casket, halting, hesitating to leave, wanting to cling to the last touch I would have with this faithful, caring friend. Finally, I pulled it away, forcing it to say goodbye, forcing me to let her go. And then I made my way to the head of the casket, and I stood there between cross and corpse as the music began to play. Beautiful Savior, King of creation, the hymn began. And I heard the voices lifted in song around me, mingled with sniffles and sobs. We moved down the aisle slowly, serenely, past family, past pallbearers, past friends. Truly I love thee, truly I'd serve thee. And it was then that I heard it. At first, I wasn't sure. It was just a hint of something that was touching something deep within me, like a faint smell that reminds you of a childhood Christmas and then is gone. And I just couldn't place it or be sure what it was. Light of my soul, my joy, my crown. I looked up from my hymn book and stopped still in the center aisle. Standing there in the pew with no hymn book in his hand, but singing with absolute radiance and conviction, full of faith and hope, there stood the gravedigger. The gravedigger. It had been almost a year since I had encountered him at that graveside. It had been almost a year since our faltering conversation had reached inside me and gripped my heart. It had been almost a year since he had spoken God's words to me with his hoarse and raspy voice. And here he was again, not a grave digger this time, but attending the funeral. I stared at him, and the hymn went on to verse 2, and he looked at me and smiled, his eyes twinkling. Suddenly, I felt a hand on my shoulder, and I turned to see a perplexed funeral director with casket and pallbearers in tow. I nodded and moved on down the aisle again and stood nearby as the casket was carried out, followed in grim black procession by the family. It was a beautiful fall day, with the leaves gold and red and a hint of briskness in the air. On the way to the graveside, I hoped he would come. And then as I stood there beside the casket and the hole, waiting for the last few stragglers to arrive, I scanned the faces of the crowd to see if he was there. At last, I saw him, standing a little off to one side by himself. I smiled to myself, thinking that old habits are hard to break, and wondering what lay in store for me because he was there. Then it was time for the committal. It was all over so quickly. A few words of scripture, a few prayers, a cupful of earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Amen. I spoke to the family, assuring them of God's love and my thoughts and prayers with them. And then I merged into the crowd standing all around, and I lost sight of the gravedigger. I was still standing there as the crew started shoveling the dirt down onto the lowered casket, although most everyone else had gone. It was then that I saw him, a little ways off, standing by himself near a cluster of gravestones. I walked over toward him, and he saw me coming, and he broke into a big, welcoming smile. He reached up and touched his brown derby hat and did a quick little bow.
"Howdy, Reverend," he said.
"Hello, my friend," I answered back. "It's been a long time."
"Yes, sir,"
he said. And we fell into an uneasy silence, and he looked over my shoulder to where the workers were busy filling the hole.
"She was a good woman, Reverend," he said.
"Did you know her well?" I asked.
"For a long time, Reverend. For a long time. She always treated me fair and good, you know, Reverend. I did some work for her from time to time, and she was always so nice and full of smiles. And sometimes, Reverend, well, most folks just don't know about all the little goodnesses she did. Seemed like she was always thinking of others before she thought of herself."
I said, "It seems like she was important to a lot of people." And he said,
"Yes, sir. And Reverend, I'm having a little trouble saying goodbye to her. I'm remembering so many stories, Reverend, so many caring and thoughtful things."
And then he looked up at me as if considering, and then he said almost plaintively,
"Reverend, can I tell them to you?"
I smiled and suggested that we walk as he talked, and he smiled a grateful smile. We meandered through the tombstones with me listening and him pouring out his heart about pies that were delivered to bereaved families, about secret gifts and actions taken when needs were known, about hymns sung while doing the wash, about times on the porch reading her Bible. At last he stopped and he seemed to gather himself and took a deep breath. He looked up at me.
"Reverend,"
he said,
"thanks for listening. I said, "It's important to remember." And he answered simply, "Yes, sir." Then he looked up again and said, "Right here is where my little girl is buried, Reverend."
I looked around and saw that we had wandered into an old section of the cemetery. And I remembered that he had told me about the death of his teenage daughter. He knelt down beside the grave like it was a precious treasure. And I saw that his lips were moving. I listened closely and at last caught the words he was saying over and over.
"Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted."
I found my heart aching with his pain, and I prayed those words too. After a while, he stood up again and smiled at me.
"This is my favorite spot in the cemetery, Reverend. My daughter's here, my mama and my daddy, they're right over there. You know, most folks don't like being in a cemetery, but I do. I don't know, but somehow being here amongst all these dead folks, it's peaceful. And Reverend, sometimes I feel closer to God right here than I do in church. When I'm troubled, sometimes I come here and I just walk around. I look at the stones and at the grass. I know the dead don't speak, Reverend. But a lot of times I leave here knowing what to do. And a lot of times I leave here knowing who I am."
I said, "Sometimes I think a cemetery is one of the best places to see God. And being here, surrounded by death, well, that changes life." He didn't answer. He just stared off over the tombstones. Once more, he looked up. He said,
"Let me show you something, Reverend."
And he took me over to the edge of the cemetery, and he stopped in front of a very old grave. The wind and the rain had washed away most of the writing on the marker, and the grave had sunk so that it looked like a little trough reaching out from the headstone. It was unkempt and ugly and forgotten.
"I like to come here too, Reverend," he said. "I like to come here because right here you can tell that there ain't nothing down there. Down there, there's nothing to find. It's empty, like his tomb is empty."
We stood there together for a while, pondering in silence the wonder of life and death, and the wonder of a Savior who died and rose for us. And then, still without speaking, together we started back. The sun gleamed through the clear, crisp autumn air, showcasing the brilliant display of color in the trees. We walked in silence, looking at the reds, the greens, the golds, and at last we came to my car. The gravedigger reached over and picked up a fiery red leaf that had fallen onto the hood. He twirled it in his fingers for a moment by the stem, giving it one last life. And then he said,
"I like the fall, Reverend. It's such a season of hope."
Then he tipped his hat again and headed off through the cemetery. I stood there and watched him walk away. And then I realized that once again he was singing. The breeze carried most of it away, but the last part came through.
"Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines purer. He makes our soaring spirits sing.
With wonderful diversity of languages and cultures, you created all people in your image. Free us from prejudice and fear, that we may see your face in the faces of people around the world. Light of the world, send us out. God of compassion, whose Son became poor for our sake, help us to see the face of Christ in those who are poor, and in serving them, to serve you.
Light of the world, send us out.
God of healing. You became one of us in Jesus and know our frailties. Help us to see the face of Christ in those who are ill and suffering, and reach out in compassion to help your work to restore them to health and wholeness.
Why the world sent us out.
God of comfort, you stilled the storms of life and give peace to your people. Help us to see the face of Christ in those who are fearful, those who are troubled, those afflicted with mental illness or addictions, those who are depressed or full of anxiety. And may we embody understanding and seek ways to offer peace and safety. God of warmth, you have eagerly sought us and have opened your arms to welcome us even when we have strayed far from you. Help us to see the face of Christ in all those in need of welcome in our world, even when we struggle to do so, and to open our arms to them and help them embrace a new future. God of all-encompassing love, you love us so much that you sent your Son to live and die for us. Help us to see the face of Christ in all those who seem unlovable and to embrace them as we would embrace you. God of peace, you call us to live in peace not only internally with you, but also with each other and among nations. Help us to see the face of Christ in those with whom we struggle and disagree, and lead us to work together to the higher calling of mutual understanding and love. God of all people, you have made us, and you have made us yours. Help us to show the face of Christ to others, so that in all things we may reflect the light of the world in our lives. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith in the midst of the storms and roads of life, in our pilgrimage knowing only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God, remember us in your love and teach us to pray.
Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Thank you.
has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared for all people, a light to lighten all creation. Give us grace to live in your light. Praise the one who brings us light and fills our days with peace.
Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Amen.